Good afternoon from the magical Isle of Vashon. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly gathering around the chair. And it is always a pleasure to come on after Susan when she does the live broadcast. And she had a very interesting guest. And if you don't listen to Susan before you listen to me, you should. And you should, if you haven't, go on to archives and especially listen to this one, because she talks about, she has a guest who is an author, written about Victorian times, and beyond that, I'm not going to use, you get the book, it's called Widow Walk, Susan just held it up for me. So I always start off our time together with a mention that this is indeed Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and stream live all over the world, from Singapore to Stockholm, all of the ships at sea, all of the aircraft in the air, all of the places in between where there are Captain Joe's people. And the second thing that I always start off with is a binnacle list, and in particular, today, as we come to the end of a very difficult year for all of us, and with the hope of a new year, which is going to be loaded with opportunity and challenges not to be missed, am I in particular concerned about those people of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list or are thinking about becoming members of the binnacle list because of mental, emotional, that kind of challenge. And during the week, since the last time that we foregathered just before Christmas, during that week, a number of indications have come to me that there are some of my people who are being in particular challenged, not just because of the virus, but because of other things that are happening in their lives. And the initials PTSD have come up a number of times. And I remind everybody that the T stands for trauma, and trauma does not necessarily mean always combat. There are all kinds of traumas that we have in our lives with which we have to either confront or we lie down, and in our hearts and in our souls we die. And the point of this whole broadcast is for all of us to come away after our half hour feeling a little bit better about ourselves and feeling a little bit better about the world in which we live. And so for any of Captain Joe's people who are dealing with some of these particularly difficult challenges, which are much more difficult to deal with than the physical ones in many cases, know that there is help out there for you. If anybody of Captain Joe's people want to talk to me, my telephone number, I'm putting it out for the entire world. Area code 206 in the United States. Area code 206-463-6672. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. I'm just a simple sailor who can barely read or write, but I have commanded thousands of young Coast Guardsmen over the over 30 years that I was in command, and have dealt with just about everything that can happen, including some of the things that have happened in my own life. And I am happy to share my failures and how I dealt with them or did not deal with them. And maybe we can have a talk that will get any of you who exercise this particular privilege to talking to somebody who can help you. And for those who are veterans who have taken the same oath that I did, know that the Department of Veterans Affairs has people who are in particular skilled at dealing with these things. You may have to swallow your objections to having anything to do with the VA. We could talk about that as a separate issue, but I want to reassure everybody that there are people out there. You may have to try one and then move on to somebody else. But let not despair take you down to where you can no longer arise. If you're down in the bottom of that pit, hold up your hand and somebody will reach down and help you up. So I promised that I would tell the story about how we got the Christmas tree up to the masthead. In last week's broadcast, we talked about the Christmas tree that was cut down in the back garden of the chief pilot in Wellington, New Zealand. And I had a signal from one of my people wanting to know how we got the tree up there, because it was a very large tree, and of course Northwind's mast was high. How did we get it up there? So here's how it happened. All the way at the top of the mast, welded onto the steel of the mast, is an eye welded right onto the steel there. I'd like to say that in the ship's drawings it said, "This is Captain Joe's eye, and use it for only hoisting Christmas trees." But it was actually installed there when the ship was built so that anything that needed to be hoisted up, antennas, halyards, flag halyards, all sorts of things could be hoisted up. But no block was kept up there, and so a block had to be taken up. And the way it was done was a particular type of block called a snatch block was attached to the belt of the young sailor that was going to climb, and a shackle was included as part of what he was taking aloft. And up he went, climbed up to the top of the mast, and being very careful, attached using the shackle to the eye that was already welded to the mast, and shackled the snatch block to the mast. Now, a snatch block is a particular type of block that can be opened up so that you don't have to reeve the bitter end of the line. You can open the block, put the bite or the loop of the line inside the block, shackle, close it back up, all very neat, tidy, and seamanlike. Then the bitter end of the line was taken back down to the deck. It was bent onto the tree, or the tree was bent onto the line, depending on whether you're a bosun's mate or somebody else. And it was done with what is called a rolling hitch. Look up rolling hitch in the Chapman's Book of Knots, the world authority on knots. And once the tree was bent onto the line with the rolling hitch, it was hoisted up to the top of the mast. It was then secured with lines that went around the tree and around the mast. And as I recall, to make sure that even in the worst of weather that the tree would not fall down through the antenna arrays and onto the deck should it come loose, that the line that was used to hoist it up was kept in place, and it was then secured down at the base of the mast. That whole process was reversed when it was time, reluctantly on my part, to bring the tree back down and to suitably dispose of it in an environmentally sound way. So that's how the tree got up there. That's how it was secured. And somewhere in my personal archives, I think I still have a photograph. And I know that somebody is going to want to see that, so I'll keep a weather eye out for it. One of the things that happened during this week was that we had a ship at the in the Federal Anchorage, and I was with my dear friends from next door, and they looked out and they noticed that there was water sluicing down along the anchor chain, or if you are a traditionalist like I am, we still call it a cable, even though today, of course, anchors are secured to the ships that they hold in place by chain. So there was water sluicing down the anchor cable, and into the water, and I was asked why that was happening. And I said, well, probably she's getting ready to get underway, because when the anchor is heaved around and the cable comes back in, and it goes into, in modern ships, a chain locker. In the days of sailing ships, it was went into a space called a cable tier, but they both had the same function. It was where the anchor line was stowed. And I said, she's probably getting ready to get underway, and the water is to sluice the mud off of the cable as it comes up. Well, I was wrong. She was not going anywhere for another 2 days. But that led to a discussion of why they would be doing it anyway. And I said, well, probably when she was brought to anchor that they veered out more cable than was necessary. And so they heaved around to get all of that extra cable back into the cable tier, or today the chain locker. And so that led to further discussion. And I was asked whether or not there was some way to tell how much chain was out. And I said, it's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking it. And there is indeed. Anchor chain, or in olden days, anchor cable, is measured in shots. And a shot is 15 fathoms. A fathom is 6 feet. So one shot equals 90 feet. Now, when a anchor chain or cable is veered out, it is veered out in units of shots. So in the anchorage right off of Captain's Quarters, it's about 100 feet. On the nautical chart that I use, it is in feet and fathoms, so it's about 100 feet. And so the captain probably, if he's going to be there for a relatively short period of time, might veer out maybe 3 shots. But I always erred on the side of extra cable or extra chain out. And that of course assumes that you have enough room to swing in the anchorage. If you're in an anchorage like the waiting anchorage to go through the Panama Canal, you don't veer out as much chain because you don't have that much room to swing. And that led to a further discussion of ship nomenclature, and so I'm going to explain here the term eyes of the ship. And the eyes of the ship are the part of the ship that is far forward, and it comes from the painting of eyes up in the bow of ships in ancient times, and it's a custom which is still followed today. For example, in Greece, you will see fishing boats with eyes painted on the bow in parts of France, and in the Mediterranean in particular. So this is so that the ship will be able to find her way. It goes back to antiquity. It goes back probably at least 3,000 years. And the custom is still followed today. And the term is still used, that a lookout be posted as far forward in the eyes of the ship as is practicable. So there's our nautical arcana for today. And I am going to move from there on to a commentary about the Space Force. First of all, that one really snuck up on us, and I'm not so convinced that it will, as a separate military branch, will survive into this next administration. I have nothing on which to really base that except a feeling. But what I do take exception to is the co-opting of the term guardian. The Coast Guard became named the Coast Guard in 1915, and it was a renaming of the Revenue Cutter Service, and it also brought into the Coast Guard a couple of other agencies. So the Coast Guard has been known as guardians, and in fact, Not too many years ago, Kevin Costner did a film called The Guardian, and it was about the training and the use of rescue swimmers who fly as crew members in our helicopters. The training is extremely rigorous. It has a very high rate of people who don't get through it, who don't make it. And the work is, as you can imagine, extremely dangerous. And the little extra money that that the rescue swimmers make for hazardous pay is nowhere commensurate with the risks that they take. So the term guardian has been part of our tradition for ever since at least 1915, when we were named the Coast Guard. So for it to be co-opted by somebody who has never served seemed to me to be a little bit presumptuous, more than a little presumptuous. And I have always, as soon as I heard about this business about the Space Force, I thought, our Air Force has done a pretty doggone, in fact, more than a good job at taking care of that part of the environment and in protecting our part of that environment over our landmass. And so I am not a great fan of having that separate branch. I think that what we had worked out just fine, and I am hoping that among the one or two other things that the new administration will have to deal with which it will have to deal, would be to stand down the Space Force, get all of the people that were inducted into it, make them Air Force people again, and we can continue to have as the Air Force marching song, "Off We Go Into the Wild Blue Yonder." And that's what I have to say about that. The day after Christmas is called Boxing Day, and it comes from Great Britain, and in particular in England. And there are a number of versions of the story as to why it's called Boxing Day, but a much trusted and much loved friend told me that Boxing Day is the most important day in the cat calendar. And she also sent me a photograph of a cat in a box. Those of you who are cat owners or would like to be cat owners, I incidentally have an almost inexhaustible supply, should anybody be interested, that they can find a photograph that shows a cat in a box. Cats always love to get into boxes, and so the real answer to that is that my version of it anyway is, which came to me from some of my English friends in Cambridge, is that that was the day that families that had servants would put a meal and gifts, usually some little extra money, into a box and present it to the people who served them. But there are other versions of the other reasons why, and I like the one about it being the most important day in the cat calendar. We have coming up the end of this year, New Year's Eve, which is the 31st of December. It's also the last day for the old man winter. So this is your last call from the captain's chair for donations to the Voice of Vashon and Old Man Winter. And I take this opportunity to thank in particular all of Captain Joe's people who have made donations. When one of them is made known to me by Kate, the executive director for Voice of Vashon, I always remind her that these are people who make themselves known to Voice of Vashon because they want to keep the captain pontificating from the captain's chair. And in order to do that, they have to also be financial supporters. So I take this opportunity to thank all of Captain Joe's people who have been so generous with their donations to the Old Man Winter program. I don't know how close we are to the goal that was set by Kate, the executive director, but I have to believe that we are either very close or we may have even gone over. And that's thanks to all of the people who listen to us, who know that what we do is important. And one of the things that we do is that we support the Vashon Be Prepared. And so I'm also reminding everybody, especially people on the magical Isle of Vashon who have been tested for the virus or who have had other contacts with the Medical Reserve Corps and Vashon Be Prepared. They have done an absolutely magnificent job, and they also are worthy of our financial support. And as always, I like to make sure that I set the example. So after I had gotten my test, which mercifully is negative, I also made a donation to the through Vashon Be Prepared to the Medical Reserve Corps. They've done an absolutely splendid job on behalf of all of us who live here on the magical Isle of Vashon. I have to bring up a point and a story about which I hold no pride, but in all fairness, I have to mention this, and that has to do with the scandal at West Point, where 70 cadets were found to be cheating in an examination. The excuse that someone at West Point made was that, oh, well, these are only first-year cadets, plebes, they're called in the Naval Academy and at West Point. In the Coast Guard Academy, a first-year cadet is called a swab. That seemed to me then to be an appropriate name for someone just starting their military career. Anyway, at West Point, the spokesman for the superintendent of the academy said that they were just their first year and they had not yet been completely imbued with all of the customs, traditions, and things about which they are expected to behave. And I reject that one right out. The first year, the first summer at West Point is called Beast Barracks, and it is a very intense time, and during that intense time, they are taken apart and then reassembled as members of the military, officers in training. They all took on their first day on the plane at West Point, they all took the same oath that all of us who have served took, and so they get cut no slack from me on that. Then the other excuse was, well, it wouldn't have happened if they had been taking the examination in the classroom instead of some sort of virtual or remote examination system. And on that one, I call BS as well. You either have these things right, and you do them right, and you correct your mistakes, because we all make them. I make that point over and over again. If you want to get in the queue to listen to mine, it's a pretty long line. So they knew what they were doing, and they thought that they could get away with it. So I don't know what the penalty will be, but the honor system at all of the service academies is strong, and whenever it comes under attack, the honor system then has to kick in the way that it's supposed to. So I'm not accepting, and if I were one of the administration at West Point, I would not accept any of those excuses. This is one of those things where you stand up and like a man and now a woman, and you accept whatever the consequences are without any whining, mewing, or puking. So, in the Arctic, in the last couple of weeks, another piece has come to me in which the Russians have been misbehaving, and they have been doing it directed towards people who cannot defend themselves, and those are the fishermen that are fishing in the Bering Sea. They've been harassed by Russian warships and by overflights by aircraft. So what all of this tells you is that this is a precursor to the kind of pressure that is going to come down on the United States probably as soon, very shortly after the beginning of the new administration. There's always a testing time when a new captain comes aboard. It usually takes about maybe 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, where something will happen in the ship just to see what the old man's going to do. What is going to be his actual policy as against his policy as proclaimed in his remarks at change of command. And the same thing is going to happen here. It could well be in the Arctic. It could well be in some other place. It could be an extension of all of the cyber intrusions which have happened. But something big, something that is going to test the resolve of the new administration is going to happen. And it's going to happen from the Russians. And if it doesn't happen within the first week, it will not be very long before more testing will take place in the Arctic. We have not prepared ourselves for this, and it is going to be a measure of our resolve as to how quickly we can respond appropriately to whatever that particular thing is. I find it particularly reprehensible that these have been directed toward fishermen. Now, fishermen are not always noble spirits, but they cannot protect and defend themselves. And what we may end up doing is having escorts in the fishing police. We've done this before, and those of you who are old enough to remember it may well remember the cod wars off of the coast of Iceland. So the whole business of fish and fishing and fishermen has been a challenge since man's first straddled the log with a piece of line with a hook on the end of it and went fishing to feed his family. It continues today. It will continue until the end of time. And we just need to be ready to protect and defend our own people and make sure that they can continue their lawful endeavors. A quick note about Golden Arrow. I have talked about Golden Arrow. She's a car carrier, and we've talked about how they have a tendency to roll over when the cargo comes loose, and this is what happened to Golden Arrow, and she's lying on her side in the approaches to Savannah, Georgia. She's being taken apart. She's being cut apart in place, and in order to make this happen, a big cofferdam has been built around her, and if you want to see a very interesting piece of salvage engineering, go on to any search engine and type in Golden Arrow, and it will take you right to it. And you can see some of the most recent photographs of the work that's being done there. We come to the end of the year, and I come to the end of my broadcast, and so it remains then for me to wish everybody a happy new year. Watch out for each other, especially for those for whom you are responsible and accountable. Know that respect, regard, love, and affection comes to all of Captain Joe's people from the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And I am on station and watching properly from the captain's chair.